Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good afternoon, and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is CIO Trainee, A Tough Road Ahead, and our guests for today's show are Bill Ross and Robert Wuerl. Bill is the President and Chief Operating Officer with Sun Microsystems Federal, Inc., and Bob is the CIO with Sun Microsystems, Inc. Good afternoon, panel. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Good to be here. Thank you very much.
So how did the year 2006 turn out for you?
Bill? Overall, 2006 has been a pretty good year, a big change for me because I went from being the CIO at Sun to being head of a business unit. So it's a pretty good change, and we got a lot delivered, I think, Bob, in IT as well for 2006.
Yeah, definitely a very busy year, and busy for me as well, stepping into the role of CIO, and a lot of good things ahead of us in 2007, so pretty exciting time here at Sun.
It must be good fun having both of you getting your respective promotions, if you will, right?
Yeah, if you can look at it that way. Or, you know, sometimes I tease Bob about whether this is really what he wanted or not, which is Bill Howard used to tease me about that. So.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. So I think, you know, this is a very good topic to discuss with the two of you because, you know, you've both seen your respective so-called promotion that you just discussed, but at the same time, you've also experienced the grooming when you were in that trainee role. Bob, would that be true for you, where you basically were going through this transition and you had mentors, and I assume Bill was the one. And so how did it go?
Well, Bill sort of alluded to it, but I honestly never had any grand desires to want this role or to step into this role. But I think in the final analysis, as Bill was moving on, there was a number of significant changes going on across the business, and as Bill approached me and some of the other leaders in the business approached me about the job, what they were really looking for was someone to go, you know, address some of the business issues, if you will, surrounding IT, primarily some of the financial issues and so on, and so that part of the job was interesting to me. What I was, you know, a little leery of, to be quite honest, was some of the time pressures and demands that I had seen Bill Vass go through for a number of years and Bill Howard before him. So I stepped into the job with a bit of trepidation. But with Bill's help and support and guidance, you know, I think the transition has gone reasonably well, and you know, I certainly continue to look to him for support going forward. So.
Yeah, and I think one of the important things is we went through a lot of work sort of defining, we have a thing called the Information Management Group, and defining what would it take to be a VP on the Information Management Group. And so we've built a number of leaders, not just Bob, that have rotated through sort of the core IT competencies. And Bob, and they are operations, so Bob led operations as I did before him, or after him, rather. Bob has led architecture and process, and Bob has led development. And so that's really the three different core exposures we try to get people through if they're going into a general management IT position. So they spend time, you know, in operations with everything breaking all the time, and it's not their fault. There's nothing they can do about it. You know, they just have to fix it and put the right processes in place and work through that. They spend time, you know, giving up all their evenings and weekends and holidays, which is what you do in operations. They spend time in development, working with the business and understanding the business, and trying to learn how to build something that won't keep the operations people up all night. And then they spend some time in architecture or process, trying to architect something or build a process where it'll facilitate building a business system, of course, building business systems for business users that often don't know what they want, that can be deployed successfully and not keep the operations people up all night. So Bob worked all those three roles, and a number of our other executives have worked all those three roles, and those executives on our IT staff who haven't are working them now or have, you know, plans over the next few years to step into those three roles as well at at different times in their career. And it gives somebody who's really rounded from an IT perspective. So it was pretty easy, you know, with me going to pick virtually anyone on the staff. Not 100% of them, but probably at least 60% of them had done the three roles. But Bob, I think, stood out in that, you know, he spent a lot of time on the business management components. And the whole governance piece. He put together our Corbett process, and also we had just finished the architecture, getting all the architecture aligned, and I thought that he really had that, and a lot of respect of his peers, so he was really the best selection as I moved on to ensure stability. And I think, you know, one thing that I'll say is when, you know, you can often judge a leader while they're in a job, but the real, you know, testament is when they leave if things don't fall apart. And it was really nice to see that Bob's kept everything from falling apart. You know, everything has gone very smoothly, very great transition. Bob's done a wonderful job picking up and putting his imprint on being CIO.
So now, given the fact that, you know, Bob, you must be feeling lucky that you had a sort of mentor like Bill, and what we are looking at, many situations where folks are trying to find a good mentor or find at least some sort of CIO academy where we get enough exposure, we get the right environment, the right forum for us to be able to develop the right trainees into a successful CIO. Given the fact that, you know, it is a need out there, and I think we can definitely arrange for a formal approach, but for some reason, it has not happened so far across industry, and it is so-called a fragmented approach or an ad hoc approach that we have seen in, you know, working out a plan of some sort. So why is that? What are we essentially waiting for?
Well, I guess first let me say that I'm fortunate to work at a company that has a very structured process for developing leaders, both, you know, in the CIO ranks, but across the company. So that's certainly a big benefit. But I do recognize in many other companies that people aspiring to become CIO don't have the same structure. And I'm not convinced that it's purely related to the role of CIO. I mean, if you look at other C-level executives, you know, for example, CFO or our chief marketing officer or some of the other critical roles in the company, they also lack any sort of formal structure, be it, you know, in industry or elsewhere. So I don't know that it's solely attributable to CIO, but my advice to people that have made this comment before is that if it's not available in your organization, work with your leaders to see if there is a way to develop such a program, a succession planning program in the company. But if not, the next best thing to a, quote, CIO academy is really getting heavily involved in the industry with CIOs and the various peer groups and organizations that they participate in. In virtually every geography in the world, there is the equivalent of a CIO roundtable or some form of a CIO society. And oftentimes you don't have to be a CIO. You can be, you know, a senior executive in an IT organization. But the more time you spend with the CIOs, the more you begin to develop an appreciation for what skills are important, what skills are not. And you know, ultimately that helps round people's careers out and gets them prepared for the next step.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. And in addition, you know, if someone just sits and evaluates their potential understanding of basically those three different areas of information technology, the operations, the development and understanding the business, those two things together, and the sort of architecture / process governance components. They can look at where they have gaps in there. They can choose rotations into those jobs, even if they're distasteful to them. But it's a good way to get that. You know, everything becomes interesting once you get into it. Also, just developing your general manager skills and across the board and speaking skills as well. All CIOs have to do a significant amount of stakeholder involvement and get in front of crowds and have long discussions and be able to deal with unhappy end users and business users. So those sort of service-oriented skills and thinking of yourself as part of a service for the corporation is very important to be a successful CIO and develop those skills.
So would you not actually consider a mentor as more like a therapist, or in front of you have to actually open up to some? I mean, this is how I would look at my mentor, that unless otherwise I open up and come out of that so-called denial mode and leave all those ego issues aside, I definitely cannot grow. And if you are trying to do something within your organization, that still looks possible. But if you were to go out in an open forum or try to find somebody, not exactly off the street, but in a forum, and you cannot just foster such a relationship, and, you know, it would not get its full effectiveness, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, a good mentor is someone who you can bounce ideas off of, and also someone who will make you look inside yourself and discover what's really important and what's not. And to Bill's point earlier about rotating through the various roles in IT, we've had this conversation for many years that some people don't like to go do IT operations, as an example. It's a difficult job. And yet the mentor's job, I believe, is to help them understand that if they're truly looking to work their way into that CIO role, that's almost a prerequisite. So, you know, look inside yourself and decide whether spending a year or two in operations is a worthy investment of time. And, you know, again, I think the mentor's role is to help them see that.
Right, and the same thing, there's a lot of people in operations that are not, you know, really interested in having an intimate relationship with the business and understanding the business processes and the business issues. They sort of live on the adrenaline, and, you know, pushing them to stretch themselves into those roles as well is part of what a mentor should be doing, in addition to general management skills and general stakeholder growth within the companies that they're in. A lot of your success in a company, especially as CIO, because you work with everyone in the company. I can't think of another part of the company that hits every employee every day, other than maybe some of the workplace resources groups and the IT organizations. You know, those skill sets of dealing with people is really important for a CIO.
Now, let's talk about the fact that a good CIO needs to have a few traits which he or she would be born with, because they cannot be acquired. And, of course, there are other skills which you have to acquire. Could we just take a lowest common denominator and, you know, work with that and then see what exactly you should be born with for you to become a CIO and what you can learn from the outside?
Well, I think most IT people tend to be introverts, so you have to sort of learn, again, these people skills, and you have to be a little bit, you can't have too big an ego. You have to be able to get beat up a lot and be able to address people who are unhappy with one issue or another and be calm. I think that calmness is really important. Wouldn't you agree, Bob?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, CIOs are faced with you know, insurmountable pressures from all different angles. And I think certainly here at Sun and most of the peers that I think Bill and I are familiar with in the industry, the common trait is that they're able to stay calm in the face of, you know, disasters and very serious situations and, you know, rally the troops. So I think one of those core skills that you have to be born with is just, you know, good listening skills, good people skills, good verbal and written communication skills. That'll take you a long way. And then certainly you can learn some of the technology along the way, but without those fundamental people skills, that's really difficult to succeed.
Yeah.
And see, many times people say that, you know, earlier at least, the way CIO was interpreted was a glorified geek, and this person has come a long way into turning into a business person. So in a way, a technical background sometimes comes and haunts a CIO trainee or anyone who is trying to assume that position. So how can we undo that geekiness in us and move along to the business side? Because it's only so much you can do if you are, you know, been spending so many years.
Yeah, so I'll speak and Bill can chime in. I think it's very situational dependent. And what I mean by that is companies vary in the type of CIO that they need at any given point in their history, right? So Bill and I are actually very good examples. Bill is very technical. I'm not. And so even in the course of several years, I think what the company's CIO needs are have changed. And I think that's true across the industry. So my advice to people who are very good people managers and very good business managers and communicators and all of those things is not necessarily to try and go get a technical degree on top of that, but perhaps instead to look for CIO roles that are in businesses where they need more of a business focus as opposed to technology. On the other hand, if you have someone who's very technical, they can round out their people skills and they might be best suited for a very technically oriented CIO role. I think the job of CIO varies widely from industry to industry and business to business.
And I agree, Bob, also with the state at which the IT organization is in. When I was CIO at Sun, we had a lot of architecture to fix, a lot of technical issues to fix, and a lot to get moved forward. Once that is in, the architecture is done, the standards are done, the metrics are in place and moving forward, a lot of the CIO's job is, you know, really back to sort of general management and facilitating the business as best as they possibly can. And that doesn't mean that doesn't happen with the technical CIOs either. You know, interestingly enough, so I was a very technical CIO who has also had to, you know, move into the business. Which is a wonderful opportunity for me. So going from CIO into leading a business unit, and that just really taxes all of your general management skills and people skills and business savvy that you also have to have as a CIO. I don't do a lot. What I talk about every day in my new job is quite different than what I talked about when I was a CIO. But the way I do it and the interactions and dealing with all the, you know, having proper metrics in place and management constructs in place and managing the budgets and all those things is not any different than I did when I was CIO.
So would you say that in today's age, when we want the CIO to be more of a business person, this job of the technical step is better handled by a CTO, and CIO essentially should focus on the business strategy and how our information systems, or information as it is, turns out to be an asset and is linked to the business strategy, the typical CIO's definition, and let's separate those roles out and not have a CIO come into this camp at all?
Well, I think it depends on the company and the condition the company's in. Is it a lot of these Wall Street CIOs will tend to be very technical, or a CIO at like a Google or a eBay or whatever will tend to be very technical because they're in that part of the business where they're using technology and a advancement in technology and a dominance in technology to win the strategic business for the company, as opposed to a corporate CIO that's delivering a service and trying to optimize the business of the company. And I think, you know, different levels, you know, different types of CIOs, I think you'll always have those people who bend one way or the other. But I think it's very important, you know, to, you know, not have to know all the technology yourself, because in reality you can't do it all, right? You have to delegate. So having strong CTOs in place and strong business managers as well in place is very, very important to success.
Yeah, I would just amplify everything Bill said. I think it is, again, situational, and in organizations where you can have the luxury of separating the roles, CTO, CIO, it's a great benefit. In a lot of companies, just isn't that practical, so CIO needs to take on both responsibilities.
And I think it's kind of interesting if you look historically, Bob, and you were here much longer than I was, wasn't Reducial very technical?
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill... Howard was not as technical, and then I was technical, and then you're not as technical. So I think that sort of shows
very cyclical
the cycles. And I think, you know, you may have to, maybe the next CIO here has got to become very technical again, depending upon what the business cycle is that the company's in. And there's just, you know, the real challenges. I mean, I spent the vast majority of my day was spent on business problems, not on technical problems. It was, you know, is that funded? Has that been released yet? Why is this program behind? Why is this user having a problem? Why can't the sales orders get through in time? And, you know, that's really what a CIO spends their time on. Even if they're technical, they end up spending their time on those things because that's where a lot of the issues fall. And I think your challenge as CIO, whether you're technical or business or whatever, it doesn't matter. If you look at a triangle and you do 3 points of a triangle where you do, process, technology, and people, if you overcorrect on any of those 3 points, you'll lose. If you become too technical, you'll lose. If you forget about the process, you'll lose. If you forget about the people, you'll lose. You've got to always try and look at the time you're spending on your calendar and see how much time am I spending on those three things and try and balance them out.
Yeah, I think it's easy for people to over-rotate or over, spend more time on those things that come natural to them, whether it
or
be whether it be the technical space or the non-technical space. And you have to carve up your agenda or your calendar to really force you to focus on all facets of the job.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a real geek in there who isn't a people person, they don't focus on people at all. Their staff doesn't get developed. They don't communicate well. They don't communicate well with the business. Or somebody who's, again, totally geek and doesn't spend any time on process, you'll have complete chaos. And alternately, if you have somebody who only understands process or only understands people, your technology will degrade significantly. So you really need to strike that balance between the three.
So this basically takes us to the next question about what kind of self-diagnostics, if you will, you would want to have these aspiring CIOs do so that they can see if this is the right career path for them. I mean, I can ask my kids, say, what you want to become, and they could say an Air Force pilot or a doctor or whatever. And they definitely have to, these trainees have to start somewhat earlier in their career to see if this is the right path for them. And maybe there's a way for somebody as an external entity help them see the direction almost like a counselor. And if at all it turns out after some kind of counseling or some kind of diagnostics, it's recognized that these people may not be the best folks and they're kind of wannabes, how do we break the news and how do we potentially help them seek an alternative career path, because they could definitely be useful in other capacities as well.
Yeah, I think you just have to recognize, And we recognize this as well, there's sort of the two paths you follow. There's sort of the general management path up to CIO, where we force the people through the three different types of skill sets and all that. And then there's people who want to specialize. They just want to be an architect, and that's great. Or they just want to be an ops person, and they want to be the best ops person in the world, and that's great. But I think, getting them to understand that if they want to be a general manager, it's around leadership, it's around personal development, it's around people development, it's around understanding the different roles in IT significantly, and they have to at some point in time in their career decide, are they going to go for general management and work up there, or are they going to specialize in an area like governance or operations or architecture or development.
And I would add, in terms of perhaps how people can get an early glimpse into the job, as you mentioned earlier, spending time to see what a CIO does, to see if you really think it's interesting. And just by way of example, in fact, the first week of January here in the United States, we're hosting a group of students from Berkeley University who all aspire to be CIOs. So they're coming in for 2.5 days, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time with them, showing them what life is really like in the world, the real world. And it's a way for us to reach out to the community and for the community to give these students an opportunity to really see what it's like beyond the textbooks and beyond the theory. Now, perhaps that model doesn't scale very well, but I would encourage students in particular to look around the local community for opportunities. Reach out to CIOs. I think almost every CIO would love to entertain people for even a half a day or a day to bring them in and show them how they do things. I think we'd take a lot of pride in the role, and we have a social responsibility to help young people, students in particular, really define whether this is the job that they're after.
Yeah, and I think understanding that, when you're a CIO, you work for everyone in the company, no matter what their rank and file is. You're responsible for their information technology productivity, and understanding that, I think, is a really important piece. You can have someone at any level be unhappy with you, and you have to help them be successful and productive. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of a good CIO is that they care about people being productive and that they understand that they're a service to enable the business.
So basically what you said is that they have to be shown what a CIO should bring to the table, and they should get this as a message and kind of do a self-evaluation to see whether they really fall into the right, a model where they would essentially turn out to be a great CIO versus something else is in store for them.
Yeah, I think part of the problem, and I understand the preference to have a simple diagnostic tool. I just don't know that it's that simple because, again, for everything that we've talked about, the role of CIO is a very multifaceted sort of job. And so to put into a diagnostic tool all the skills, competencies, background, experience, et cetera, that makes someone a CIO, I think is just hard to quantify. Much like, again, a CEO or a CFO, there are some basic steps and basic competencies that people should have. Beyond that, it's largely the individual, the timing, being in the right place at the right time, and, pursuing the dream, so to speak, and working hard.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about the typical areas where a CIO trainee essentially struggles and may require mentoring. And are we supposed to wait and make sure that these people open up, get out of their denial mode, and come to us, and then we start offering help? Or we have a proactive approach from an organizational, support standpoint? So let's talk more about it when we come back from the break, so please stay tuned.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align information technology with their business objectives through its full line of staffing and outsourcing services. Whether it's hiring top technology talent or developing mission-critical business solutions, we back it up with an unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, making IT better. www.evol.com. Visit today. More and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salad, broadcast to you every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjog Gal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is CIO Trainee, A Tough Road Ahead. Our guests for today's show are Bill Voss and Robert Wall. Bill is the President and Chief Operating Officer with Sun Microsystems Federal, Inc., and Bob is the Chief Information Officer with Sun Microsystems, Inc. Before the break, we had touched the point where we are trying to kind of understand what are the typical areas in which CIO trainees struggle mostly, and also what are the typical areas, are the same areas where they would require mentoring. And in fact, the same people, would they at all come to their respective mentors and say we need help, or they are still in their denial and ego, and we recognize as an organizational support system and approach them and take them aside and say, hey, we can help you. how does it actually works and how it should work?
Well, let me start. This is Bob. Let me add a point of view, and Bill can certainly chime in. I think part of every good manager's job, be they the CIO or a CFO or any other position, is really to identify emerging talent. Here at Sun, we have a pretty rigorous process for doing that, but I think it's incumbent upon all of us to identify the up-and-coming, the strong-performing individuals, and, as you say, pull them aside, be sure that they're getting the right training and development, the right rotational opportunities, that they're participating in a structured mentor program. All of those things are important to ensure their continuing development. Ultimately, people will obviously have these career decisions that they have to make, and if you surround them with a support structure, again, mentoring and so on and so forth, you can ensure and guide them into the roles that are most important for the company and hopefully on to the role of CIO eventually.
Yeah, and I think those, some of the things I see that you need to take into account, you know, you have the standard development as an individual where you go from managing yourself to managing a team to, you know, managing people to managing managers, to managing like a business unit, to managing the company, if you want to look at it that way. And each change in that role, you have to change how you operate. You need to recognize you've made that change. And I think one problem I see in development is a lot of people not recognizing that gee, I'm not a programmer anymore. I'm managing a group of programmers. And how do they let go of certain things they did before and take on new things that they hadn't done in that role? And I think mentoring people through that is important. Another thing, in IT organizations, there's often lots of charter conflict and overlap, and I think what you should be doing is finding any redundancies that are in your groups and getting rid of them, you know, that for maximum efficiency. And I see a lot of people who are too ego-invested in their things they've done over a couple of years to let go and realize that it's redundant or obsolete and that they need to move on. And I think that's a key. When you see somebody who can take something that's been their baby for 2 years and realize that, oh, this is competing with the main ERP system and I need to work to consolidate it in and then move on, and they can do that and give that ego up and have the risk of, gee, I'm working myself out of a job, those are the people that you need to look at to promote. Because, you know, a CIO's job is, there's just tons of expand and consolidate, rationalize, expand, consolidate, rationalize the whole time. And you have to know when to say, hey, I'm, you know, that thing I did, it was great 3 years ago. It needs to be replaced because now it's redundant.
See, if we were to notice, you know, your answer essentially suggests that more often than not, you will see organization having to go and support the CIO trainees versus the CIO trainees approaching the organization for support. And with that being said, we are assuming that organization would have the right structure, the mindset, and the team of people who would be right there and will be willing and also would have the mandate to help these guys. And we all understand that that is not the case in most organizations. So it's these organizations which are still looking for help themselves to set such a structure, where could they actually get started in building a culture?
Yeah, so I think one great place is one of the areas that actually Bob set Sun IT on is looking at COBIT. So from a governance perspective, COBIT is an industry standard, and I'm sure Bob, since he's the expert on this, can give you even more on this, definition of all the activities an IT organization should do. And then going through and ensuring that you're doing all of those activities and defining which are core and which are non-core and which you're going to invest in training or not, is a great way for any organization to organize around. It's an organizing principle. Any IT organization will have all those functions. And if they're not doing all the Corbett functions, they need to ask themselves why. Another thing that of course I brought to the table is the capability maturity model, or the CMM, and those are great ways to organize your processes for successful delivery, and understanding that you need a process defined in each of those key process areas. So those are two great frameworks that you can go out and grab that anyone can use. They're out on the internet. You can download them and use them to structure your organization around, and then put skills developments around those activities and those processes.
Yeah, I think to Bill's point, COVID has just given us a good framework to describe to the leaders who can then influence the establishment of that structured process the various roles of IT and, frankly, its importance to the organization. So I think it gives a good framework for dialogue, a good common language, if you will, to describe what IT does. And oftentimes that's the first step to try and establishing these succession planning processes and development processes in a company, is to be sure that the senior executives understand what it is that IT really does and its value add to the corporation. I think only then will they invest in those necessary bits of infrastructure.
And you see, you mentioned about COVID and CMM, and essentially they are, again, somewhat closely tied to the IT. And given that the CIO, the one which the trainee is going to assume, would have definitely the IT component, but their major portion of it is non-IT. So essentially, do we think that we should only have the organizational structural support and the mentors from the IT space, or should it be beyond that? I mean, you could have people from financial side, you could have operational and management.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest that it be from outside of IT. There's always value in having mentorships, especially from more junior people from within the organization, so they can explain the intricacies of perhaps the architecture and standards and policies and technologies and so on. But I think as you reach middle management and up, there's greater value in having a mentor who's someone outside the organization who can give you the company-wide perspective of some of the challenges and issues and help you in developing your general leadership skills as they fit better with the company profile and needs. So,
right, I definitely agree with that. In addition, in an IT role, in any senior IT role, managing your stakeholders is just so important because, again, you work for everyone in the company. So not only do you get from mentoring outside of IT, like, say, for one of the, product groups or, one of the service organizations or one of the finance or HR, you get a good understanding of their business, and you build a stakeholder relationship where when it's time for your budget to be approved or whatever, they all have a say into how much money is spent or how it's spent or what the direction of IT is. Building that stakeholder relationship will be very valuable for your success as you grow.
So now let's talk about the fact that the areas in which CIO, the role and responsibilities of trainee, actually a CIO trainee would assume, they are not exactly you can say that there would be a risk that will get introduced if you are not totally exposed to what exactly is the role that they're going to be playing. And you definitely, it's almost like, you do disaster recovery kind of testing. You can do the pull-the-plug testing, but when the actual disaster happens, it is not the same. So are we not, in a way, introducing risk in that whole process and not giving them, a trial run to actually take the CIO seat for a month and then see how would they, produce or how would they execute the responsibilities and then see whether these guys are ready for that main responsibility?
Well, one of the things we are very good at in how we have developed the people so that they can handle multiple roles because they've operated there, but one of the things we'll do, and, quite often when I would go to meet the board of directors to talk about compliance and Bob was leading that or whatever, having, for instance, I would have Bob stand up in front of the board. I would have Bob operate when I was gone, whenever I was traveling or whenever I was on vacation. Bob would always be sort of the second hand, or my right hand person to take over, and so that certainly built his confidence that he could operate that that skill set, and I think you can just trickle that across the whole organization. One of the keys there is to let people sit in the job for a little while and see how they do, or to delegate more. I mean, one of our goals here at Sun is to, you know, set a set of standards and guidelines. We have written standards and guidelines for everything from, you know, email to programming standards to process, and we say, here are the standards. As long as you're following the standards, you're empowered to be a decision maker. We try very hard, not always, but try very hard not to overturn decisions that have been made as long as they followed those standards and processes. And that empowers people, and once they get that empowerment, I think another thing that we do is we recognize when some people take certain roles that this is going to be a risk for them. And our goal is to, you know, show publicly that people are not punished for taking risks, and that helps to build confidence as people, you know, try out roles. You know, there's sort of an expectation if you're moving into something you've never done before that, you know, we're going to have to spend a good amount of time with you until you get your feet under you for a few months. And if you move into that role and you took a risk, and you want to go back to your comfort level, you know, there's some understanding that, well, gee, you're not going to be as good a general manager, but, you know, if you really want to go back to that comfort level, we can arrange that as well.
Yeah, I would just amplify everything Bill said, really, that if you do a good job at giving people opportunity to stand in on occasion, to circulate through the organization in various jobs, by the time it comes their chance to move into the CIO role, if they don't have a good, solid understanding of what the CIO position is all about, then, you know, someone has failed. And, again, to Bill's point, Bill's credit, I think he's done a good job at not just giving me that opportunity, but many people across the staff, so that, you know, the company had choices when it came time for Bill to move into his new role. So.
Yeah, I mean, we could have literally, I believe, Bob, wouldn't you say, picked anyone on the IMG for the most part?
Yeah,
could have easily
so.
taken over the CIO role. You know, we just felt you were the best one, that perspective. But we could have picked anyone to take that role. They were all, the whole management staff, since they'd had all these different roles, was intimately qualified to step in and had face time in these different roles. In addition, as I would be out of sorts for whatever reason, heavy travel or, you know, vacation, whatever it happened to be, we would alternate who would be in charge. You would, you know, have the con, as I would say, when I would not be around. And they would be full responsibility. It wasn't just Bob. It was everyone on the staff. We would rotate it quite often.
Now, one quick thing which we have seen is that, in fact, it's a frequent, you know, happening, is that you'll see organizations, of course, trying their best to mentor staff, and they will try to give all the opportunities, but somehow these CIO trainees sometimes become a little impatient, and they try to look for positions in smaller companies where, coming from a larger organization, they automatically carry so-called the clout, and they're readily accepted within that organization, and that organization may not necessarily know that these people may not be ready yet, and which in turn introduces risks, may it be in a small or a larger scale, but definitely it's a risk to that given organization. So how do we ensure that while this new CIO has been picked up, and most of the time we're talking more like a step-up candidate, someone who's been a like a vice president who's been given a position as a CIO, but given that he's coming to a smaller company, if specifically to these step-up candidates, how do we actually make sure that they have received the required grooming? Is that a part of a retained search agency, or is it something that an organization can do within itself? What essentially can be done about that? Because that's a risk.
Well, so this is Bob. Let me start. I think it's all of the above, and I wish there was a simpler answer, but I think as people move to other organizations, there's some degree of responsibility that a retained search firm has to, you know, obviously check the background, the credentials, the qualifications. But I would strongly suggest that the hiring organization have a clear understanding, again, of what the profile is for the CIO that will be effective in their organization. so that as they begin the interview and search process, they can map the individual to those requirements. Oftentimes, people are looking for an opportunity to move laterally simply to get the title of CIO as a stepping stone in their career, and I would caution companies against hiring people who are simply looking for the title as a means to, you know, move on 2 years later to something else. They really need to look at whether the individual has the right skills and capabilities and such for that particular situation.
So one last question I had very quickly, we can answer that, is the fact that there is a lot of M&A going, and it is not unusual to have the CIO trainee lose his very chance of becoming the next CIO, and also the fact that he may or may not lose the mentor who was showing him the way. Mm-hmm. Given this uncertain environment, how do you expect the CIO trainee to keep focus and keep at it?
Well, not to not to minimize the difficulties there, I think, again, people just need to, as best they can, put those distractions out of mind and focus on what they can do in the short term. And the fact that their mentor may leave in 3 months or 6 months, well, then find a new mentor, right? You always need to have a backup plan. Just like all IT shops have a disaster recovery plan, you need to have a DR plan for your career. And that's where looking for mentorships outside of your department or even outside the company help, you know, provide some stability there. But at the end of the day, you know, change is part of our day-to-day lives, and it's you know, it's incumbent upon all of us as we look to develop our careers to really find multiple paths and not just rely on any single one.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Bill and Bob, for sharing your thoughts and insights about how organizations can actually identify and groom CIO trainees and help them transform into successful IT leaders. And if you want to become the next IT leader, it starts with a strong personal ambition and the commitment to endure the required grooming and to fundamentally change the thought process if needed. While technical background may be an asset, but it could also hinder your ability to become a business leader, since that is what today's CIO is supposed to be, or at least that's how his role is being defined today. And instead of being operationally focused and communicating in arcane terms, speak and live business strategy, and learn to draw from experience of others and volunteer to be mentored. If you do the above, build credibility and visibility for yourself, the dream CIO job may not be that far away. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Gall, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. Please join Sanjog Gall at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for another of CIO Talk Radio.